Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Whether you're looking to start a career with no student loans or change careers to land one of the happiest jobs in the world, yep, that's construction, Build Mississippi can help. Visit buildmississippi.com to learn why a career in the trades deserves another look. buildmississippi.com. Your future is waiting.
And I haven't turned on the music yet. That's okay. That's all right. You guys can still hear me, hopefully so. Now the music's down. There we go. Anyway, once more night games, but not really pitching it that way. In fact, I thought that was his first, not his first, but that was a change of pace from what he's usually done with you guys, the fans in particular. And then also another clip where he's talking about Jackson Dart and then turns it into a conversation about expectations, but it did. It stood out to me because I think that it is a good look into this team and possibly what has been plaguing it so far this season. So I'll bring you both of those. We'll discuss Arkansas and whatever else comes up in the live chat. I appreciate you guys being here. As always, don't forget to like the video, subscribe to the channel. And wherever you get your podcasts, search Rebel Report, subscribe, and leave a rating and a review. And this edition and every edition of the podcast is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. 662-397-9799 is the phone number. DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm has got you covered. He is in Saltillo, Mississippi, but he can service you anywhere for all of your personal injuries, small business, or contract disputes. Again, 662-397-9799. You may not need him today, but if you are a small business owner, the day is going to come where you're going to need legal advice or legal help. Save that number. Also, if you've been personally injured or if you just want to make sure that you've got someone that you know that you can trust and that you can call when something happens, that is the person. 662-397-9799, DJ Gregory, the Gregory Law Firm, presenting the Rebel Report. So let's get to the Kiffin clips first. Let's get to those first. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. We'll start with the night games. Here's Lane Kiffin when he was asked about the Georgia game being at 2:30, and then also if games at night give you an advantage. In his answer is really funny. It's very classic Kiffin, and here that is for you right now.
From your perspective or coaching perspective, is there any advantage at all to playing day to tonight kickoffs?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's proven over time in NFL and college. You know, playing at night in electric atmospheres is a home field advantage, and tough when you got to do that as a opposing team. So that's been proven for a long time. And so who went at night? LSU gets to play at night again, I guess. Shocker. So that's two for two for them. it is an advantage. I feel bad for our fans, you know, to not have one night conference game is really unfortunate for them, and so whatever, it's just really disappointing, but it is what it is.
From your perspective or coaching perspective,
and sorry that looped just for a second there, but two things on that. First of all, the Georgia game being at 2:30, it would be better if it was at night. I'm a night game guy. I think every football game is better at night. You should have all day to tailgate. The atmosphere in the stadium at night is always better. It's something about college football at night that just really brings out everything that's great about it, right? So it's a shame that the Georgia game is not starting at night, because I think it should. However, 2:30 will be fine. You still have enough time to do all the tailgating stuff. The atmosphere is going to be unbelievable should Ole Miss get a win against Arkansas this weekend. If they don't, then it'll still be good, but not the same, obviously. And the sun will set because it's after daylight savings, right? So the sun will set rather early. I mean, it'll be halftime and it'll be basically pitch black. So all of the second half stadium atmosphere stuff that they do, drone shows, fireworks, all that stuff, it will be very, it'll look very good because the game will be at night, at least when it comes to like the sky and the sun and darkness and whatnot. But another thing, I did think that it was interesting, or at least noteworthy, that for the first time this year, it seems, Kiffin actually goes to bat for his fans as opposed to calling their expectations unrealistic or getting on to you about leaving blowout games early. Lane Kiffin actually went to bat for you. So how about that? Maybe the tides are changing a little bit, but he's absolutely right. And I understand the TV ratings conversation. I think that I probably look at television ratings more than anybody else. It's something that you guys know this. It fascinates me. I look at all of them. Sports TV ratings is a great follow on Twitter. He puts links out all the time where you can compare. I mean, he's got the whole list of college football games and NFL and, I mean, World Series and just like every day. It's like, here are the sports shows that were watched the most and the least. And that kind of stuff interests me. I am very into ratings, and I like thinking about, you know, why it happened. For example, Missouri-Alabama actually beat LSU-Texas A&M in the ratings. How about that? Missouri-Alabama beat LSU-Texas A&M in the ratings. Now, part of that is, of course, aided by the fact that you had the World Series going on and Penn State, Wisconsin at the same time. So that draws a little bit away from it. But LSU rates well. They do. Alabama rates well. They do. But LSU getting the competitive advantage of getting to play every single conference home game every year at the latest possible time, is unfair the right word? I know they have an incredible environment, and again, LSU rates well. They do, and that's why ultimately these things are happening. But if night games rate so much better, then why did Alabama-Missouri beat LSU-Texas A&M this past weekend? I think that I don't know if there's anything that the league can do because TV tells them to jump. They say how high TV writes the billion-dollar contract, and the SEC gets to draw the rewards from that. So maybe there's nothing, but I do think that Kiffin's frustration is justified in that it's ridiculous that LSU gets the competitive advantage because there is a competitive advantage. Ask an Arkansas fan or Sam Pittman what time slot they'd rather play in. What will be a more intimidating environment for Ole Miss on Saturday, 11 o'clock in the morning or 7 o'clock at night? It's a competitive advantage for games to be played at night. And the fact that Ole Miss over the last 4 years has played so many day games at home and so many night games on the road is a competitive disadvantage. So, yes, the TV networks control everything and they're why he gets to make $10 million a year and all that stuff. I understand it all. I'm not saying that that's not how it works. But I am saying that there is a clear competitive on-the-field advantage in the networks favoring LSU, for example. It absolutely is true, and more people need to talk about it openly. So, second thing I've got for you is Lane Kiffin was asked about Jackson Dart's day, and then it turned into something else. I want to hear what you think about it, so I'll play this, and then we'll talk about it on the other side.
I thought Jackson played really well. It was really accurate with the ball, especially without his, probably the best receiver in the country not playing. So I thought he played really well, and I thought we pass protected well against a defense that has a great rusher. And I thought we settled down on defense with a new play caller early, and they kind of ran a lot of tricky type of stuff and kind of took a lot of different shots that way. And then we settled down and played great defense in the second half. And I think after rewatching it too, like, that's a good win. And I told our guys today, don't let people outside of this room steal your joy about winning in the SEC, especially by two scores and dominating a second half. So it's kind of the world we live in around here now. And, people have these expectations that, you got to win by so many points. And I think that's probably happens at a lot of places with playoffs and all the fan excitement about that. And not just do you win, but how much do you win by? So, I want our guys to, make sure that, they understand, when you win in this conference and you win by two scores and play a dominant half like that, there's things to work on, but also, enjoy it too, or you just kind of end up winning and being miserable.
Okay. Interesting stuff there. First of all, I mean, we talked about it after the game And also on Sunday, I think Jackson Dart did play well, especially in the second half. Again, he was 14 of 17. He made plays with his legs, made accurate throws, distributed the football. That was a good half for him. And they did protect well against a really good Oklahoma defensive front. And part of me wonders if there was some ability for the quarterback to just exhale a little bit and just kind of like relax and play football. It looked like that looked like the Jackson Dart that played for Ole Miss last year, as opposed to the one that had played the three SEC games leading up into that one. So maybe they built some confidence going into this game with Arkansas. I think Arkansas defensively will not be able to present. They're better. They've got some dudes. But I do think Oklahoma overall is a better defense. And South Carolina presents more challenges than what they saw. LSU in that place, I don't know. I mean, I think there's a step down in competition from that to this Arkansas defense. And so maybe there's a little bit of confidence building with this quarterback. That Jackson Dart played confidently in the second half. Can that continue? You guys hope so, of course. But the second half of that, the talking about, you know, enjoy things, have fun. You won an SEC game by double digits. You know, don't listen to frustration. Enjoy that. Maybe I'm misreading it. Maybe you guys have a different feeling on that than I do. I didn't take that as a shot at fans at all. In fact, I thought that, at least to me, that sounded like a look into like a CAT scan on the team. It was a look into. Part of me wondered if he was saying that and had to talk to his team that way in the meeting earlier that day because he's noticed that they aren't having fun. That maybe the pressure and expectations mounted to the point where they didn't have fun doing what they were doing. And reminding them that, hey, you won a game, enjoy it, relax, might be a sign that a team was uptight. And maybe we'll see a looser team, maybe not, I don't know. But that is what stood out to me more than he's taking a shot at fans. I didn't think that was a shot at fans. I think that was more of a, y'all need to relax a little bit, that it was a sign that his team is and has been caving to the pressure or has been a little bit uptight and not relaxing and enjoying playing a game together. And if you watch the second half, it looked like somebody like Jackson Dart was enjoying themselves. And you watch the first three games and tell me that there was joy on the field. Sure didn't look like it. And so maybe that was a glimpse into why they have made so many mental mistakes and cost themselves a couple of games by shooting themselves in the foot. Maybe they just have been uptight and that's been part of it. I don't know, but that was interesting to me. I'd love to know what you guys think, and we will get to those after I tell you that the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online, absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. Tell them I sent you, get a complimentary office technology assessment. See to them what you need and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you on me. That's Advantage Business Systems, absms.com. The podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. Let them make you their priority. With 16 locations here in Mississippi, there's very likely to be one in your backyard. Tell them I sent you, and they will take care of you like they do me. I mean, what's funny is I walk in there and like they know who I am, but not because of this at all. They know who my son is, and he gets a sucker every time he goes in there, which is probably a bad habit that's forming. But they treat me like a priority, even though to them I'm just a regular customer, because that's what Priority One Bank does. First message, Lane said something about the fans again. Still not sure what to think about it. There's another one. I do understand the night game frustration. I have the opinion that even if Ole Miss was undefeated, LSU-Bama would still be the night slot. I wouldn't argue too much against you. I really wouldn't. Fun fact, this Arkansas game is the first 11 a.m. road game for Ole Miss since 2018. Wow. Yeah. Sorry about the music thing. Sorry about that. I forgot to turn it down. Hope Ole Miss comes out like the second half against Oklahoma. If they do, they will win by multiple scores on Saturday. That was the best they've looked all season. Still couldn't run the ball at all, but they pass protected well. Receivers caught the ball. Really nice play calling day against a really good defensive front in Oklahoma. The Kentucky and mainly LSU game in particular is eating Kiffin big time. He probably feels like that's the most frustrating loss of his time here. It seems like, and I'm not a psychiatrist or anything, it does seem like there's a good bit that is eating at him, if you will. Just kind of seems like frustrated and not like just kind of frustrated with a lot of things or whatever word you want to use there. The networks have Ole Miss in a middle ground. They want them on the big network, but unless it's a marquee opponent, it won't be prime time. So 11 a.m. or 2:30 is where it's going to go almost every time. Egg Bowl at 2:30 on Black Friday is the best time for that game. In your opinion, absolutely, it is the best for that game. Mississippi State being as bad as they are, I think it will not do a good enough job of reflecting from a ratings perspective there. It will outrate every Egg Bowl, every Thanksgiving Egg Bowl that's ever had, even though State is as awful as they are. I guarantee it, 100%. But if they really go into that game with just two wins, and that's assuming that they get one this weekend, that will hurt it a little bit because of simply how bad they are. People don't want to watch 2-10 football teams play. They just don't. Tennessee has also gotten a ridiculous string of night games under Josh Heupel. Absolutely. Go back and look at Ole Miss's road games since 2021. Most of them were at night. Yeah. That second clip was interesting. You think part of it is trying to settle the team down. The first half of Oklahoma minus the first drive was bad. The second half was very enjoyable. So 8 of 12 snaps in the second half ended in a tackle for loss for the Ole Miss defense, so either a sack or a TFL. There was a streak of 12 snaps in the game where 8 of them ended in a sack or a tackle for loss. If you don't enjoy that, then you don't enjoy football. I mean, that is more fun than great offense. Seriously, that is more fun than great offense. If your defensive line is teeing off the way they did, that is more enjoyable because it's a physical dominance thing. It is an imposing your will and treating your opponent like a child kind of thing. So, ratings. Borky sounds like Mississippi's Colin Cowherd. I know, he's a big ratings guy too. He's a big ratings guy too. I love it though. To me, it's the best gauge of what people are interested in. You know what I mean? And although, you know, Mississippi's not the country, I do think it's a good thing for me to know and understand when we're going into a radio show. It's like, hey, a lot of people watch this game across the country. Maybe our audience reflects that, right? Like if Major League Baseball ratings are way, 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 way down in the regular season, it's likely that although we are in a baseball state, that means that our audience likely wants to hear less Major League Baseball. And since college football and NFL ratings are way, way, way up, we'd be better served to spend more time on the NFL than Major League Baseball, even though we are a baseball state. Stuff like that. So, yeah, that's part of why I pay close attention to them. You know how to get more night games at home? Win more when you get the big game, which always seems to flip-flop by these talking heads. You need to win them. That is true, but the times this year were set at the beginning of the season when Ole Miss was a preseason top six team. Oklahoma was 230, and that was set back in the summer when Oklahoma was a ranked team preseason and Ole Miss was number 6 or 5, depending on what poll you wanted to look at. That's when that game time was set. So that's same thing with Kentucky. That's when the Kentucky game was set. Ole Miss was preseason number 6. Kentucky was still a 11 a.m. game. Like I said the other night, they were the ones who hyped up the season. I think the fans did their job during Kentucky. I agree. Absolute 10-2 logjam incoming. I think that ends up being a huge problem if Ole Miss makes that group. The Kentucky loss would be an absolute killer. But I mean, what's so interesting is we don't know how the committee's going to view things. Will they look at a loss to Kentucky? Like, will that weigh more than a win over Georgia? We have no idea, right? So I still think like they're going to be ahead of Missouri. Missouri can win out. They're not going to, but they could win out and Ole Miss would be ahead of them because of schedule and resume. I thought that you should be rooting for LSU to win out. Obviously, that's not going to happen. Ole Miss fans need to be big South Carolina fans this weekend. You want South Carolina to beat Texas A&M this weekend. You're for sure. For sure. The goal should be just to relax and play their way against Arkansas, where they should win. Mm-hmm. Yes, I did hear the comment about not winning the national championship doesn't mean it's a bad season. That was strange timing. No, I heard it. We talked about it on here. The gist of it was, I think that was something that he should not have said. I do think that the context of the full quote, not the one that was out on Twitter, but the full quote leads you to believe it's not as bad as he said, but still something he shouldn't have said. It was dumb because the expectations started with them and nobody said national championship or bust. Not a media person, not fans, no message boards. Nobody said that if they don't win the national championship, it's a bad year. Not a single person said that. So it was dumb. It was a dumb thing to say, but I do think that he was trying to be lighthearted. If you watch the entire clip, not just the one part, you'll get that, I think. You were looking back at State's offense against Arkansas, and it was alarming how many explosive plays Mississippi State hit on them. Arkansas has been pretty decent on defense this year. And yeah, State turned the football over a lot. What was it, 5 turnovers? Young quarterback, too, made some young quarterback mistakes. Ole Miss should, now we'll see. I mean, they've only really done it for a half. Ole Miss should be able to move the football against this Arkansas defense, especially if State did. Now, I know State's getting better, and MVB's a very talented young quarterback. But if you think Ole Miss's offensive line's bad, watch Mississippi State play. State's got good receivers. Ole Miss has better ones. If Trey Harris can go, which who knows right now. But even without him, I still think Ole Miss is at least comparable at wide receiver, and State had wide receivers running open all over the field. So Ole Miss men's basketball looked pretty good. They looked really good. They looked really, really good. I think they're going to be able to score. The majority of their lineups will have scorers 1 through 5. Size and physicality and rebounding will be questions, but no doubt they'll be able to score the basketball. Perkins is going to have a huge game against an athletic, is going to have a huge game against an athletic quarterback. Luckily, and I know that Paul and Daugherty were both banged up, but it sounds like they're going to play. Ole Miss's linebackers are good in space. They're really good tacklers. So, lost audio. Did you lose audio or did I lose audio? Because all my levels here are looking fine. Y'all let me know. But I'll just keep talking in the meantime. Ole Miss's linebackers have been very good in space. And Taylen Green is athletic. He's tall. He's tall and athletic and really good in space. Keeping him in the pocket is, I think, the key to this game. And, of course, Petrino and Arkansas are going to try to do everything they can to get him out of the pocket and into space. But if they can force Arkansas into obvious passing downs, I think they're going to win the game. I don't think he's a consistent enough passer to beat Ole Miss this defense for sure. But, yeah, Perkins is going to need to have a big game. So are Paul and Daugherty and Coleman. I think that the defensive line is going to be able to generate pressure. But can they maintain gap integrity and things like that? Yeah, very important game for him. I think that they will use him in more of like a spy role than you saw last week. I mean, this is not, although there was a question asked at the presser about, you know, this is the question was, this is the first dual threat quarterback you've seen in conference play. It's decidedly not. I mean, Jackson Arnold was the number two dual threat quarterback in the country as a recruit, and you could very clearly see how athletic he is. He's not having a good year, but he's a very, very good athlete, and that was clear. And then obviously with Sellers at South Carolina, I think Green is the best of the three for sure, but Ole Miss has seen this before. And they'll be able to self-scout and try to figure out, you know, Kiffin said in that press conference that Oklahoma did some things that they hadn't seen yet, and once they adjusted, they were fine, which is true. I mean, Oklahoma had, what, 90 yards in the second half and did not have the running success in the second half that they did in those couple of drives that were also aided by penalties. At least one of them was. So they've seen this before. They have shown you that they can manage this at times anyway. But I do think Ole Miss is athletic enough to contain a guy like him, and we'll just see if they're able to do it. 2 weeks in a row of 9 more sacks given up by Oklahoma's offensive line. Not good, man. No, look, they're really, really bad. But Ole Miss and South Carolina both are in the top 10 in the country in generating sacks and tackles for loss. So Oklahoma's offensive line, not good. But the last two teams they've played are the best in the league at getting pressure and sacks and TFLs. So you have concerns about Talon Green's escape tactics against the Ole Miss defensive front, but I do know that they allow a ton of pressure and Arkansas turns it over. Felt like you could feel more of how Kiffin feels after his presser, seemed to be more open per se. He was a little bit less uptight on Monday, maybe. Defense needs to play aggressive against the Hogs and take away the run. I don't trust Talon Green to consistently beat Ole Miss through the air. Yes, I do not at all want to see them approach the passing downs the way they did with LSU. Bringing only 3 guys and dropping 8 into coverage should not be what they do on Saturday, I don't think. Game day in Oxford or Baton Rouge if things go to chalk this weekend. I think it's going to be Oxford. A lot of people have talked about how game day's done some preliminary, you know, logistics in Oxford. And of course they do that with multiple places, but they've already been to an LSU game. Now it was in Columbia, but they've already been to one. They've already been to an Alabama game. They try not to do repeats if they can't help it. So, and there's a lot of storylines there too. I understand Nick Saban, Alabama and LSU ties, but also you've got Nick Saban, former staff member in Lane Kiffin, former staff member in Kirby Smart, and they want to go back to the Grove if they can help it. The aesthetics there are really good. They want to do that. So, do you think game day will go to Bama LSU? We shall see. Kentucky or Oklahoma game should have been at night. Oklahoma more so than Kentucky, but yeah. When they were scheduled, now, it being at 11 now with Oklahoma being what they were, that's a different story. But that game being at 11 o'clock when it was scheduled made no sense. LSU fans are so offended about the night game thing. Any game during the day is like a punishment to them. Yeah, the whining and complaining was ridiculous. What you guys need to do is start doing what they did and pretend that it only gets hot in Baton Rouge and that it's a safety hazard to play day games. You guys should do that too. Oh, it's so hot in Mississippi, because it is. And so do the safety hazard complaining that the LSU people did. That might work. One thing that could help Ole Miss if they went out is if their 2 losses are by a combined 6 points. Yes, but Kentucky is really going to bite them, I think. Who knows for sure, but just get to 10. Just get to 10, and everything else will sort itself out. Ohio State or Penn State are going to lose this weekend. Ohio State could get their 2nd loss this weekend. Could happen. You look around, Texas A&M could get their 2nd loss this weekend. I mean, don't look now, but here, we'll actually go through it, because why not? And especially since we're not going to be live Thursday because it's Halloween and we will be doing our trick-or-treating. Let's see. I mean, I don't think this is going to happen, but Miami's been playing with fire, and they've got 6-2 Duke in town. Ohio State's either going to get their 2nd loss or Penn State their 1st. That matters. Kansas State on the road at Houston. We'll see. They could get their 2nd loss. Iowa State certainly could lose to Texas Tech this weekend. The Red Raiders can score. Oregon is at Michigan this weekend. They could get their 1st loss. Indiana may or may not have their quarterback. They're just a 7-point favorite on the road at Michigan State. They could get a loss there. Clemson's playing Louisville. I mean, there are opportunities here for chaos. It's going to happen. It will sort itself out. It will. That's what college football does. Mississippi State should have hit the 40-point mark against Arkansas. Yes, they had two possessions where they fumbled the ball at the one-yard line. Twice they fumbled the ball at the one-yard line. So there's 14 points right there they should have had. If the game is close, you do not trust Ole Miss to win it. I trust Ole Miss's quarterback to not make mistakes more than Arkansas. Trey Harris, Jaden Williams, Jeremy James, Logan Diggs. I have no idea on any of them. Trey Harris, as I understood it, practiced at least lightly at the end of last week, but maybe suffered a setback. Logan Diggs, I mean, even if he's healthy, why would anybody think that they're going to play him? Why? Why would they play him? They don't even play their best running back who's healthy right now. They're just going to run Henry Parrish into a brick wall until his entire body falls apart while Bentley sits on the sidelines doing nothing, getting five touches in a game. So if Logan Diggs is healthy, why would he play? Bentley doesn't even play. And he's not coming off of an ACL injury. So I don't know. DeQuinton Jackson coming back for Arkansas. I don't know. We'll find out tomorrow, of course. Or at least we'll find out something tomorrow. I'd assume so, considering how teams tend to be healthy when Ole Miss comes around. See Georgia last year. Oh, that was timing. When Princely wants to get to the quarterback, he can at will. Yeah, Princely, he was, I mean, the whole defensive line was great on Saturday, but Princely had a really good game as well. Arkansas fan here. No, Jackson won't be back until Texas. Interesting. What about Trey? I do not know. There's some mixed rumors right now. He tried to go last Saturday, they said, and just couldn't. But there is some grumblings of pessimism about his availability. We will see. I do not know. I have heard positive things about Walter Nolan. Now, again, getting real injury information out of that program to talk to you guys about is impossible, but there are some positive things being said about Walter Nolan. We'll see if it's actually true. I don't know. Seeing Ole Miss win in Fayetteville will be a sight Ole Miss fans haven't seen in a long time. Hogs are 13-2 all time there. Yeah, Ole Miss has won a couple of times in Arkansas, but not in Fayetteville recently. The games there are typically miserable. Yeah, I mean, it's a tough place to play. Forecast, I mean, for some reason, it always gets cold up there. Fayetteville's cool. Fayetteville's a cool place. You really like the over in the game? Trick-or-treating, what's my costume, Borky? My costume is my sweatshirt that I'm wearing right now, and I'm putting a taco on the one of my dogs that can actually walk around the neighborhood. The other one, poor girl, only three legs, can't go trick-or-treating. She just gets too excited and she'd wear herself out like by the end of the street. But yeah, so I will be in nothing. But Maverick will be a taco. Don't even risk Diggs until we have a shot at the playoff, you say? But again, Why would anybody think that he's going to play? They just insist on just doing this with Henry Parrish. Just that they just insist on it. Hurt shoulder? Doesn't matter. Bum ankle? Doesn't matter. Just run him right up the middle into big defensive linemen. Just keep doing it. And eventually his body's just going to fall apart. But that's what they've chosen to do. Biggest concern is whether Nolan returns or not. I think Trey would be more impactful in this game than Nolan. But yes, I mean, Nolan is just so commanding of attention in so many ways. Has there been any talk about what the crowd will be like, whether it could play a role? The worse it gets, the more you think Arkansas wins. Well, let's see. Let's see what this weather is. Saturday, 60% chance of rain, wind 11 miles per hour. Let's see if I can get a more detailed description of what they expect. Daily? Sorry, this is taking a while. I don't trust the Weather Channel. I've gone to AccuWeather. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Cloudy with a couple of showers and a thunderstorm is what AccuWeather says for Saturday. We'll see. We shall see. Sam Pittman said Jackson was doubtful Saturday, but he was going to play for Texas. Thanks, Jeremiah. Appreciate that. If it rains, the Ole Miss offense is going to be hard to watch. Get ready to learn. Stick them on your gloves, buddy. But, hey, it might force them into short, quick passes, and that is their best offense. So, JJ got some kind of weird reaction to his arm late in the Oklahoma game. Nobody's talked about it. It's the isn't it the same shoulder? I mean, he's had shoulder issues since the Georgia Southern game, and he's just playing through it right now. He's just playing through it. He's got a bum shoulder, and he always that will not get fixed until the season's over. Tried some brandy this weekend. Pretty good. Classy. I like it. But anyway. All right, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. As always, we will do keys to the game, all that stuff in a recorded video on Thursday because we're going trick-or-treating. So y'all be good. I will see you on Thursday and then after the game on Saturday and then again on Sunday. So be on the lookout for all of that. I appreciate you guys being here, and I'll talk to you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.